It's a beautiful day to be free in Austin. Good afternoon. Thanks for joining us today on Live Free Austin, where every week we'll discuss the news, views, and tools you can use in order to live a more free and prosperous life. I'm John Bush, and with me, as always, is
Jason Rink. Hey, we're just two guys who started off on different sides of the political spectrum, but we've arrived at the same destination. And at Live Free Austin, we have a saying, freedom's the answer. So what's the question?
That's right. Whether it's poverty, the war on drugs, national security, freedom is always the answer, ladies and gentlemen. What is the question? Any number of things. More individual liberty, less government intervention. That's the solution.
You know, John, that's a pretty radical statement right there. I mean, always, freedom is always the answer in every situation. I mean, can we really back that up?
Well, unless you think that another person, another individual, another representative even can make a decision for you better than you yourself can make that decision, then
freedom's always
the answer.
All right, and you know what? We're gonna encourage dialogue from the audience. You know, every week we're gonna try to allow for interactivity on our Facebook page at Live Free Austin on Facebook and on our website, Live Free Austin Radio. We'd like to hear from you. Any issues that you disagree with, any thoughts that you have, we'd like to know about that so we can talk about it on the upcoming shows the following weeks.
That's right. Yeah, we got a great show lined up for you today. We're going to be joined by Thomas Woods, author of Nullification. He's a wonderful guy. We're going to be talking the philosophy of liberty, nullification, the principle of decentralized government, and it hopes to be a wonderful discussion. So, yeah, like Jason was saying, we're both just two normal guys. We came from opposite sides of the political spectrum, and we've met here with the philosophy of liberty, basically, coming from conservative, liberal backgrounds, we both agree, again, with individual liberty. And basically, the philosophy of liberty, we're going to be talking about it a lot on this program. We're going to be taking news items, interviews, local, state, national things going on, and applying the philosophy of liberty to it. And to basically sum up the philosophy of liberty, there's a couple points: self-ownership and the non-aggression principle. Maybe you could tell us a little bit about self-ownership, owning oneself.
Well, self-ownership is the idea, and this is a concept that I think we naturally believe. And one of the reasons why I believe John and I and many other people have come from all different points in the political spectrum, and they come to this point of the philosophy of liberty, and you just say, well, you know what? I've got to be consistent with the philosophy of liberty. And what the philosophy of liberty says about self-ownership is it says, no other human being owns me. I own myself. I control my own destiny. And if we own ourselves, then that means that an outside force, an individual or a group of individuals that are assembled together as, say, I don't know, a government,
U.S. Congress,
you know, whatever it may be, that those individuals, even when they're grouped together, they can't tell me what I'm able to do with my body, which is my property, as long as I don't injure or violate the property or body of another human being who has those same natural rights to self-ownership. John?
Sounds pretty simple if you ask me.
Yeah.
So, yeah, it goes from there. You take the non-aggression principle on top of that, which basically states that an individual should not initiate force or coercion against another individual. Those are the two underlying fundamental premises of the libertarian philosophy. Small L libertarian, you own yourselves. No other individual, a group of individuals, or everybody for that matter, can own you. And on top of that, individuals should not initiate violent force. And we believe if people live consistently according to those core principles, then we will enjoy a more free society, and in turn, we'll enjoy a more prosperous society. We'll see a dramatic rise in the standard of living for everybody. And this, you know, we take these core fundamental principles, and from there, we go on to the free market, what a just government actually looks like, the idea of consensual government. And again, on this program, we're going to be taking that philosophy, which doesn't get a lot of play these days, unfortunately. It's starting to have a new a revival, basically, through a lot of various movements. We see a lot of this philosophy of liberty coming out in the Tea Party, which we'll be talking about later in the program. But we hope to demonstrate this and also give you tools on how you can live more freely.
And what we hope to do here at Live Free Austin is we hope to take this philosophy of liberty and take it to its logical conclusion, its consistent conclusion, when it comes to different issues of the day, when it comes to different issues that we deal on a daily basis in life, when it comes to different decisions we might want to make, when it comes to, you know, education, when it comes to, you know, growing our own food, when it comes to political opinions, whatever it might be. We would like to come out and just say, look, we're going to be consistent. And we also want to hold these other people who are, you know, touting the philosophy of liberty, like John mentioned, the Tea Party crowd. And, you know, hey, okay, so if this individual is claiming to be for liberty and for freedom, well, do they consistently stand behind that principle, or what exceptions do they make for the sake of maybe their party affiliation or agenda? And those are the type of things that we want to highlight. In fact, we're going to highlight some of those things a little bit later here in the show. When it comes to the non-aggression principle, John, you know, I know it's easy to see that when we look at an individual level. So if I go to my next door neighbor and I want to take something that he has, for me to just by force break down the door, take whatever that is, and leave his home, that's obviously a criminal act.
Mm-hmm.
Very few people are going to disagree with that.
Mm-hmm.
You know, what I've got to do if I want something that my neighbor has is I have to convince him to either give it to me or to sell it to me or to trade for it,
mm-hmm,
or in some way engage in a voluntary, you know, exchange with that individual.
That's right.
Why is it that it's so hard for us to see this on a collective scale?
Mm-hmm.
You know, when... Okay, so I can't just go to my neighbor and take his stuff, but if I convince enough of my friends to get together and say, okay, well, we're going to go ahead and take this guy's stuff,
mm-hmm,
that doesn't make it right.
Yeah, and it seems, unfortunately, in these days, this modern democracy, all too often we see 51% of the American public deciding what's best for 49%. And we all know that our founding fathers, they didn't give us just a democracy. They gave us a constitutional republic, a democratic republic, in which our individual liberties were set in stone in the U.S. Constitution as a deterrent from government intrusion in those individual liberties. But what we've seen slowly, gradually, we've slipped into more of a genuine democracy, whereby the power in the party in power, the individuals in power, they feel that it's their right because they've been chosen by the people to basically dictate how individuals should live their lives. And we see a lot of sentiment rising against that. And again, it all goes back to the non-aggression principle. If it was a voluntary contract, consensual government, then everything would be fine. But again, what we see more and more are a lot of government edicts that the people aren't even in favor of, and they still get rammed down our throats.
Yeah, and you know, one thing I want to point out is, you know, here on Live Free Austin, we're never going to worship at the altar of the founding fathers here. I mean, the founding fathers were flawed individuals who came together in order to try to form, you know, a more free society here in America. And, you know, we can debate and argue whether or not that experiment has worked. I mean, there's a number of reasons why we're losing our liberties today. And, you know, so the founding fathers, they didn't have it all together. But what they did have was they had a solid understanding of this concept of the philosophy of liberty. They had this solid understanding of natural rights and the rights of being a human being that we have from birth. They had these things, you know, pretty much down. They understood them. And, you know, we live in a culture now where this concept is very foreign,
mm-hmm,
because we've lived under, you know, sort of in a governmental system that takes for granted the fact that, you know, we don't have a right to, you know, self-determination. We don't have a right to decide what we're going to do with our lives and our property.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, we're so used to government acting on behalf of a majority to take away the rights of the minority. We don't realize that really what the beauty was about the constitutional republic, the democratic republic that was set up, is, mm-hmm, this idea that it was the rights of the minority that were protected.
Yep.
It was the rights of those who couldn't protect themselves that were to be protected in that system of government. And so we're just looking to restore that at least restore the dialogue about what that foundation was.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, they definitely understood individual liberty, and they tried to put that in paper. And what we have with the United States Constitutional Republic is the closest in the history of civilization that we've come to a genuine free society. And again, it's so upsetting to see us drift away from that. And one of the things that I think is being undermined the most that could, again, restore this idea of a free society, a more free society, more prosperous society, is the centralization of government that we see taking place. Remember, originally the states were sovereign, independent entities, but unfortunately the federal government over the years, more so and more so today with the Bush administration, Obama administration, going back to the FDR administration, and even before then, they just keep on usurping their enumerated powers, and what we see now is more and more centralization. It's going to be one of the key components we talk about, not only the philosophy of liberty, but how it's applied through government and what the idea of a just government is, because I tell you, we just don't have a just government these days,
unfortunately. No, not at all. And what we do is we trace it back to this idea of decentralization. The closer to the people that the power remains, mm-hmm. the more influence the people have over that power.
That's right.
And so what we're going to do is we're going to be moving into our next segment. You know, we're going to take a short break. We're going to go and cover some local and state and national news items regarding the philosophy of liberty, regarding just some things that are going on. And we're going to actually talk about a recent quote by the beloved or the be-hated Sarah Palin. About what's going on, the elections coming up. This is something you want to catch on to. So just stick with us here at Live Free Austin, and we'll be back.
More energy. Stronger immune power. Improved sense of well-being. How many supplements have you heard boast of these benefits? The team behind Centrition believes that supplements should over-deliver on their promises. And Centrition does just that. Centrition utilizes the ancient healing wisdom of Chinese medicine in conjunction with the science of modern nutrition. Adaptogenic herbs serve as the healing component, and organic hemp protein and greens and superfoods act as a balanced nutrient base. Plus, Centrition tastes great in just water. This powder supplement is everything you'd want in a product, and it's all natural. Visit Centrition.com to order yours or call 1-866-497-7436. After you use Centrition, you'll believe in supplements again.
Hi, Harlan Dietrich, owner of Brave New Books. What do you think of when I say lifeless, dumb creatures that usually work in groups to surround and kill their victims? If you said a federal government employee, you're only half right. I'm really talking about zombies. Brave New Books has been Austin's premier zombie preparedness store for over 4 years. When friends and family became infected and ignored you when talking about important issues, you could always come to the bookstore to get the resources you needed to help slay those ghastly creatures. Well, now Brave New Books needs you to come out on Sunday, October 24th, to the U.S. Art Authority for the first annual Brave New Books Benefit and Zombie Costume Ball with special guest Jim Mars. Also, live music, games, and Jim Mars will be giving a talk on his new book, The Trillion Dollar Conspiracy, How Zombie Banks Are Destroying America. Come dressed as the best zombie and win an autographed copy. $10 at the door helps support the bookstore, so please try to attend Sunday, October 24th, starting at 6 p.m. at the U.S. Art Authority at 29th and Guadalupe. Because remember, only together, as a community, can we stop the zombie apocalypse.
Have you ever wondered if the news is telling you everything there is to know about important current events? Well, so do we. We're Brave New Books, Austin's own fiercely independent bookstore, located at 1904 Guadalupe Street, one block south of UT. Interested in that book or video that you've heard about from your favorite talk show host? More than likely, we've got it in stock. Give us a call at 480-2503 or visit us at bravenewbookstore.com and let Brave New Books help you read between the lines.
Welcome back. Welcome back to Live Free Austin. It's a beautiful day to be free and to be living freely here in Central Texas. John Bush, Jason Rink, rocking and rolling. So as we said before, a lot of the program is going to be dedicated to applying the philosophy of liberty to local, state, national news items in a manner that a lot of people may not be familiar with. So what we got going on right now here in the city of Austin, of course, I'm sure many people are familiar with Chief Art Acevedo. And, you know, I double not only as a radio host, but I also am the executive director of a political action committee. It's called Texans for Accountable Government, tagtexas.org. And we focus on individual liberty here in Central Texas. And we've been dealing a lot with the DWI issue. Wouldn't you know, we have an ambitious police chief here in Austin, California import, I might add. And, you know, a couple years ago, he wanted to take some federal money to start a pilot program here in Central Texas with the National Highway and Traffic Safety Administration that would have trained police officers to do blood withdrawals, to administer blood withdrawals as phlebotomists. Thankfully, we pushed back. There was a massive community uproar against it. You know, but his ambition just continues and continues. Now they're doing no refusal weekends. One's coming up on Halloween, which we're going to be covering a little bit more in depth next week. It's coming up, and basically you have no right to refuse, he says. He said, in the future, I'm going to make it to where you can't refuse. If they suspect that you're intoxicated, during these no refusal weekends, they'll get a court order, and they'll basically use force if necessary in order to withdraw blood from you to test for that. It's rather unfortunate.
Wow, so, you know, that whole, just even the name, no refusal, smacks of not being lined up with the philosophy of liberty.
That's right.
And taking blood by force definitely sounds like a violation of the non-aggression principle.
Yeah, and indeed. And property rights, too, because my DNA is my property, and they want to suck it all up. I want to drink your blood.
Oh, boy, yes. Yeah. So that's coming up. We have that to look forward to over this upcoming holiday weekend.
Oh, yeah, it always makes the holidays and the trips out to Sixth Street more enjoyable to know that there's vampire bats creeping around. I'm sure it's doing great for business downtown. But so more recently, his ambition continues, and he's been speaking about including something new into the transportation code, a DWAI, which is driving while ability impaired.
Hmm.
Yeah.
So that means that it's not a DWI or a DUI. It's some lesser level.
A little gray. It's 0.05 to 0.07 below the normal 0.08.
Gotcha.
And he's claiming that it's not going to be a new charge. Rather, what it's for is for these people that plead down below DWI or the people that they arrest trying to get on DWI, but they blow and it's between 0.05 and 0.07. So next time that they're pulled over for driving while intoxicated or suspected of driving while intoxicated, they'll now know that they can push it to the next level. And thanks to a new state law that Chief Acevedo loved, they can actually take your blood forcibly any day of the week, not just during a no refusal weekend, if you have a prior conviction. So now this new little 0.05, 0.07 thing will allow for that. And again, it's just more growth of government.
Yeah,
it's against
sounds,
the non-aggression principle.
Sounds like it's just
amount.
Broadening the power that the police have over you. And, you know, we could talk about the drunk driving issue at another time. But I think this is something that should make all of us uncomfortable, this idea that you cannot refuse the withdrawal of blood from your body.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, think about the ramifications of that for a moment and just ask yourself,
swine flu.
Is that really something that is, you know, congruent with the founding principles of this nation? I think not.
No. Acevedo, you fail.
Well, what about some of this Tea Party news we've got here? We were talking about the Tea Party, and you know, you've got all of these different people sort of jockeying for position as the leader of the Tea Party movement. You got Tea Party Express, you got Sarah Palin, you got Newt Gingrich, Ron Paul, Sean Hannity, all sorts of characters. And Sarah Palin's out there; she's on the campaign trail. It seems like promoting some of her different cohorts out there. And we have actually, do we have Sarah Palin on the line here? We've got a quote anyway from her. I think a soundbite that she had. Let's bring Sarah Palin up on line one.
Hello, this is Sarah Palin. Hi, how are you?
Oh, doing great. This is Live Free Austin, Sarah. We're real happy to have you here. And we're happy that you're out there on the campaign trail you know, trying to garner support for some of your cohorts, but that you're not actually running yet. And we hope you stay on the campaign trail for other people, not yourself. Oh, wait a minute.
Hey, hold on a second. You should have seen me the other day. I was out at a tea party with all my fellow revolutionaries. And, you know, I told them, I said, hey, you politicians in office today, some of you need to man up and spend some political capital to support the Tea Party. Of course, I wasn't talking about John McCain, who I ran next to as vice presidential candidate. You know, he kind of slips up every time. But like I said, you know, we're conservatives. I went on to tell him, you know, that these Tea Party candidates are constitutionalists that got the common sense. You know, I'd never heard that word constitution before, and I just thought I might explore it. So that's why I listen to Live Free Austin.
Sorry.
Thanks a lot, guys.
Sorry, we got to cut you off there, Sarah. We lost the connection. But
Rand Paul.
So Sarah Palin, she's claiming to be a constitutionalist, claiming that all of these different Republicans that she's supporting are constitutionalists. And you know what? And Sarah Palin, if you decide to run, best of luck to you. It was just a little jab at you. I don't know. Maybe that was unfair for me to try to pop her balloon before it inflated on her presidential aspirations. But here's the thing. Are these people really constitutionalists? Or is that word starting to sort of lose its, meaning? What is a constitutionalist, John?
Well, I think the Tea Party grassroots, the true elements of the Tea Party, the grassroots uprising we see, I think a lot of them are genuinely interested in constitutionality and constitutionalism and bringing our government back to its constitutional constraints. But unfortunately, those in office and even a lot of the candidates that are jockeying for the Tea Party's vote, a lot of them are so far from being constitutionalists, it's absolutely ridiculous. And, you know, the term constitutionalist, it's pretty simple explanation. Either you subscribe to the Constitution as written and you believe that the federal government is one of enumerated powers, Article 1, Section 8 specifically, or you don't.
Yeah, and I mean, the other thing is that the terms constitutionalist and conservative are being used very interchangeably. And again, we don't have the time to get into all of the, you know, details of what really a conservative is versus a constitutionalist. But John, I mean, there is a difference between a conservative and a constitutionalist, at least in practice, at least in policy. I mean, conservatives, they may claim to be for individual liberty and for free markets and for private property and for fiscal responsibility and limited government,
mm-hmm.
right? That's what they claim. But in practice, conservatives typically have a lot of different exceptions mm-hmm. to that philosophy. Can you think of a few of those that we might explore?
Well, maybe forced Social Security, forced Medicare, forced Medicaid, welfare, unconstitutional war on drugs.
You know, and speaking of the health care issue, I mean, you know, the conservatives out there are saying, oh, we're going to repeal health care reform, but we're going to replace it. Well, they're going to replace
it. Romney care.
Yeah, they're going to replace it with something that is not going to be consistent with the philosophy of liberty and the non-aggression principle.
Yeah, don't forget old George W. Bush and the Republicans as well. They expanded socialized medicine more than any president before since LBJ's Great Society. So just remember, folks, it's all about the Constitution, not the party. And that's, again, going to be a key theme we're talking about here on Live Free Austin.
And I'll tell you one thing that liberals and conservatives, they both will defend to the end, is the postal monopoly. And I'm telling you right now, we've got to break up the unfree, unjust postal monopoly in these United States of America.
A regular Lysander Spooner. We'll be chatting about him during the show as well.
Anyway, that's the idea here. Is it really about consistency? Is it really about free markets and liberty and all of this? And are they going to be consistent on these views? Well, that's really what the Tea Party is supposed to be about, is holding these people accountable to their claims. And so anyway, that's what's going on in the Tea Party movement these days. What we're going to do is we're going to move into a quick break. We're going to be up next with best-selling author Thomas E. Woods. He's written the book Meltdown, which was a recent bestseller on the financial crisis. He's got a new book out called Nullification, How to Resist Federal Tyranny in the 21st Century. about what the states can do and what a state like Texas could do to nullify, to make null and void any federal law that the people of Texas did not want to obey. And some pretty radical stuff. I hope you stick around for it.
Welcome back, welcome back. Live Free Austin on 98.9 FM, The Big Talker.
That's right, more stimulating talk. And we've got Thomas E. Woods on the phone. He is a best-selling author. He holds a bachelor's degree from Harvard and a master's from Columbia University. Ooh. And a PhD, actually. He's a doctor. He's a senior fellow at the Ludwig von Mises Institute, one of my favorite organizations on the face of the earth. And he's authored, 10 books or so. The New York Times has even put his books on the bestsellers list, even though I don't think they're very nice to him normally when they write about these issues.
He's a big fan.
Yeah, right. So anyway, wrote the book Meltdown. You may have heard of the financial crisis that we are coming out of, apparently. We're done with. It's been over with for 6, 8, 10 months. Not quite sure. But anyway, his recent book is called Nullification, How to Resist Federal Tyranny in the 21st Century. And don't worry, I don't use the word nullification in normal conversation. Well, I do now, but I've never heard of nullification until about a year ago. So we're going to talk about what nullification is. We're going to talk about how the states can take back the power from the federal government using some different tools like nullification, and generally talk about some other things regarding the non-aggression principle and limited government. So, Tom, thanks for joining us today.
Hey, my pleasure, guys.
Yeah, thanks for coming on, Tom. The book's great, and we really appreciate the work that you do. Maybe you can start by introducing the idea of nullification to the crowd through the principles of federalism and decentralized government that our country was founded upon.
Yeah, well, let's make this as punchy as possible. And basically, nullification is Thomas Jefferson's answer to the question, what do you do when you have a federal government that just laughs at the idea that there might be limits on its powers? Well, the answer is not that you try and vote for some guy who might do a 0.1% better job, or you sit around waiting for the federal courts to solve the problem. I mean, this strategy will bear fruit in the year 4200, but I don't see any prospect of it helping us in the short run. And Jefferson's answer was, no, to heck with the federal courts. These are just rubber stamps for the regime, and we all know that that's how they're going to behave. They're part of the problem. If the federal government is the problem, then just simply referring all your disputes to another branch of the federal government isn't the solution. So he says, no, to heck with that. If you're going to limit the federal government, you don't ask it to limit itself. You don't hand it a piece of paper and say, go limit yourself. If it is even possible to limit this thing, the limiting would have to be done by something else, not by the thing itself. So naturally, says Jefferson, the states are the entities that are supposed to perform that role. States are supposed to keep this thing limited. And the way they do that is if the federal government does something that everybody knows goes beyond the powers that were given to it, the states have to say, well, we're just not doing this. We're not going to enforce this. Every other strategy that has been tried, political strategy anyway, to limit the federal government has failed. And again, maybe we're trying an impossible task, but certainly you've got to at least try the idea of having something other than the thing itself doing the limiting, and that's the idea of state nullification, which is starting to pick up around the country, believe it or not.
Well, and the whole idea of nullification is sort of predicated on this sort of compact theory of the union, in that the states didn't sort of give everything up and sort of all of this power to the federal government and then they lost their sovereignty. Really, it's predicated on the idea, and Jefferson believed, that the states still had this right to do that, correct?
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, his theory, and it's not even a theory, it's a description of reality, is that the states created the federal government. They sent delegates to a constitutional convention. That convention produced the Constitution, then sent it out to each individual state, and each state voted to ratify it. So notice that this is a very state-driven process. So the states are the principals to the compact. The federal government is just their agent. And so an analogy I've used is that imagine you and I we've decided to delegate to a third party power of attorney for some limited purposes. And let's suppose this third party begins doing things that we never authorized him to do. Well, who would decide that he has gone beyond the powers we gave him? Would we let him decide? Hey, do you think you've gone beyond the powers we gave you? No, I think I'm doing okay. All right, would we do that? obviously you and I would decide. The ones who gave him the power in the first place, we would decide, now, wait a minute, this guy's way off the rails. Well, that's all Jefferson's saying about the states. If the states gave the federal government the powers, they're not supposed to sit back and be told by the thing they created, no, everything's fine, we're exercising powers that you gave us, don't worry about it. The states themselves, as the creators of this thing, have to be the judges.
Yeah, it reminds me a lot of allowing a fourth grader to grade his own test. You know,
yes, that's an even better analogy. I am so stealing that thing.
Go right ahead.
That is just great. Yeah.
They even dropped it in as the 10th Amendment, you know, just to make sure everything was clear. All the powers that are not delegated to the federal government, mainly in Article 1, Section 8, are left to the states. They dropped it. It couldn't even be more crystal clear. But, of course, again, back to the fourth grader, they're sneaking one by. And the centralization of power, unfortunately, the power-hungry are addicted to it, and it's emanating and radiating from the federal government. So this nullification tool, it's really being pulled out of the woodwork. It's kind of been suppressed over the years. Maybe you could tell us some of the work you've done to actually pull some of these tools out and to remind people of how it's been used over America's beautiful history.
Well, I mean, I wrote the book Nullification this year, which I was glad to see got endorsements by, you know, Judge Napolitano, by Barry Goldwater Jr., Walter Williams, people I respect very much, who have the guts to come out and publicly support a doctrine that is not at all, not part of the mainstream.
Ooh. This is mainstream radio, Tom. Hold on.
Yeah, the FCC must approve these messages.
Yeah, exactly. I know. Oh, my gosh. Well, how dare we not belong to that little spectrum between Mitch McConnell and Hillary Clinton? I mean, my gosh. We must be mental candidates or something. We've got to go into an institution or something. How dare we? But that's been great. And the reason I wrote the book was that I noticed that starting last year, there were some citizen groups that were linking to videos that I had done on the subject and who were actually proposing, you know, we really need to do this. I mean, we nullification is the least we should be doing, given what the federal government is up to. So I wrote this book because I figured, let's give the full, complete, the real history, a defense of it, because if you support something like this, they are going to smear you. They're going to call you all kinds of names. But they're all paper tigers. None of the people who are going to attack you over this know more than half a paragraph about the subject. So you will be so armed and ready to defend yourself against this. But, yeah, so what I show, among other things, is that the real history of nullification involves the use of the states in defense of freedom of speech, in defense of free trade, against unconstitutional searches and seizures, against the prospect of military conscription during the War of 1812, which Daniel Webster said was against the principles of a free society. We have it used to fight against the fugitive slave laws, which particularly the 1851 was so full of obnoxious provisions that the northern states, some of them just said, well, we're not doing this, or at least we're going to put every obstacle we as states possibly can in the path of doing this. And so, in fact, when a lot of times you hear about this, well, wasn't the Civil War fought over this? Well, okay, no, the Civil War had nothing to do with nullification. But secondly, the South, South Carolina, when it seceded from the Union in 1860, it was complaining that the North was nullifying too much, and yet we get this crazy crap in the media all the time. This is some Confederate doctrine. What are you talking about? What would the Confederacy have had to nullify? Slavery was legal. What would they have had to nullify? It was the North that was nullifying the laws that said we got to return your slaves to you if these helpless souls happen to run up here. So it was the South complaining that the North is nullifying too much. So basically what we have in this country is a bunch of commissars in the media whose job it is to make sure that no unapproved opinions get expressed. And if they do, you don't bother to refute them. You just point and shout, hey, everybody, an unapproved opinion. Now, I'm hopeful that there are enough independent-minded Americans in this country who would be insulted by this enforcer-commissar routine, but that's usually what you get when you talk nullification. You don't actually get a reasoned response. If they do try to respond to you, you can blast them out of the water with the arguments that I put in the book Nullification. But usually you don't. You just get, oh, this is crazy. Why can't you just get on board with Mitch McConnell and shut your mouth? Well, I don't know, because I think he's an enemy of prosperity, an enemy of freedom, and I think the whole so-called political mainstream is a complete joke, which has destroyed the prospects for young people to get jobs, their futures. They've got no chance to retire thanks to all the impossible government promises they're going to have to spend their whole lives trying to fund. You know, and these people have the nerve to say that if we don't agree with them and we don't fall somewhere along their spectrum, there's something wrong with us. No, there's something wrong with them.
Yeah.
Well, you know, and I think you bring up so many great points, and the book is full of all these historical documents, and the fact that nullification has been used, you know, not to promote slavery, but by the abolitionists, you know, and those who oppose the fugitive slave law. So what we want to do is we're heading into a break. When we get back out of the break in the next segment, I know that you've been out there talking to a number of Tea Party groups or different groups that, you know, there's been conservatives, and want to know how they are receiving this message. And also, do you see nullification as a message that can actually bring the left and the right together on the political stage in America as we're heading into the next, you know, few years and into the next big election? So stay tuned with us here at Live Free Austin. We'll be back with best-selling author Thomas Woods as he talks about the idea of nullification.
More energy, stronger immune power, improved sense of well-being. How many supplements have you heard boast of these benefits? The team behind Centrition believes that supplements should over-deliver on their promises. And Centrition does just that. Centrition utilizes the ancient healing wisdom of Chinese medicine in conjunction with the science of modern nutrition. Adaptogenic herbs serve as the healing component, and organic hemp protein and greens and superfoods act as a balanced nutrient base. Plus, Centrition tastes great in just water. This powder supplement is everything you'd want in a product, and it's all natural. Visit Centrition.com to order yours or call 1-866-497-7436. After you use Centrition, you'll believe in supplements again.
Hi, Harlan Dietrich, owner of Brave New Books. What do you think of when I say lifeless, dumb creatures that usually work in groups to surround and kill their victims? If you said a federal government employee, you're only half right. I'm really talking about zombies. Brave New Books has been Austin's premier zombie preparedness store for over 4 years. When friends and family became infected and ignored you when talking about important issues, you could always come to the bookstore to get the resources you needed to help slay those ghastly creatures. Well, now Brave New Books needs you to come out on Sunday, October 24th, to the U.S. Art Authority for the first annual Brave New Books benefit and zombie costume ball with special guest Jim Mars. Also, live music, games, and Jim Mars will be giving a talk on his new book, The Trillion Dollar Conspiracy, How Zombie Banks Are Destroying America. Come dressed as the best zombie and win an autographed copy. $10 at the door helps support the bookstore, so please try to attend Sunday, October 24th, starting at 6 p.m. at the U.S. Art Authority at 29th and Guadalupe. Because remember, only together, as a community, can we stop the zombie apocalypse.
Have you ever wondered if the news is telling you everything there is to know about important current events? Well, so do we. We're Brave New Books, Austin's own fiercely independent bookstore, located at 1904 Guadalupe Street, one block south of UT. Interested in that book or video that you've heard about from your favorite talk show host? More than likely, we've got it in stock. Give us a call at 480-2503 or visit us at bravenewbookstore.com and let Brave New Books help you read between the lines.
Welcome back. Welcome back to Live Free Austin here in the great city of Austin, Texas, where we are examining the philosophy of liberty, applying it to local news, applying it to political action, and giving you tools on how you can actually live a more free and prosperous life. Right now we're chatting with Thomas Woods, author of Nullification, a wonderful book exposing the tool of nullification that we have to push back on federal encroachment. And as we were saying before, Tom's been traveling the country speaking to a lot of different tea parties, and unfortunately here in Texas, a lot of the Tea Party movement got behind Rick Perry, and one of the reasons is because he was selling himself as a big supporter of state sovereignty. But unfortunately, through his actions, be it supporting FEMA sticking around in Texas or having Department of Homeland Security law enforcement officials in all of our local police departments or visiting the Bilderberg Group, an international conference about globalism, he doesn't even support national sovereignty, let alone state sovereignty. So what has your reception been? Speaking of all these Tea Party groups, are they starting to get that, you know, state sovereignty is the way back to a, you know, more free society here through decentralization?
Well, so far, I've on this particular topic, I've spoken in Fort Worth and Orlando to some groups, part of which were Tea Party. Some of them are 912 and all different sorts of groups. And, you know, they've gone to this event to hear me and the other speakers, not always knowing exactly what nullification is, but having enough of an open mind, being curious enough to go and listen. And by the end of the day, These people are on their feet cheering for this idea. Mm-hmm. They've just never had it explained to them. They never had a chance to hear it before. Now, this is a much older crowd than you guys and I usually encounter at the events we go to. I mean, we tend to see much younger folks out there because of the nature of our events. The Tea Party is a much, much older crowd. So they tend, you know, you would think they would tend to focus on more conventional approaches. But some of these people, they feel like, you know, precisely because I'm older, I've lived through all the shenanigans. I've lived through all the crooks. I've seen how it works. I've fallen for the phony promises. I'm not doing that again. I want to try something different, and I don't care if the New York Times calls me a name. I'm still going to try something different. There is some of that spirit in these Tea Party groups. Now, on the other hand, there are some parts of the Tea Party that are just bought and paid for, and they're just in the hip pocket of Dick Morris and Bill Kristol or whatever, and they're just hopeless. But there is enough of a spark, at least the fact that they're willing to show up at an event like this is, to me, I mean, they deserve credit for that. And as I say, they are so ready. The idea that they could use this tool to stick it to the man, they are so ready to do it. They want to start doing it before the event is even over.
Yeah, it really is an exciting. I've been to both of those events that you spoke of, and you know, it's really exciting to see people sort of ready to do something. And this idea that nullification is sort of this lost and buried tool of last resort or second to last resort, some may say, before secession. But you know, that it's out there and that it's been suppressed all these years. And I don't want to say that's been a good thing, but it's sort of like it's been off the radar of all of the opposition. And so now when you bring it out with all of this historical background to it, you know, the talking heads in the media, you know, like Rachel Maddow and whatnot, they don't know really how to respond to you when you bring this topic up.
No, they really don't, other than to go into the commissar and enforcer routine of, you know, just pointing and shouting, eek, a mouse. I mean, that's pretty much all they can do. I mean, if any of us had 5 minutes with somebody like her, it would just be unfair. I mean, people would be running onto the set saying, look, this kind of a beating can't be televised.
But
we just never get that chance. You know, she'll sit there by herself, or she'll pick some, you know, she'll try to pick like the most inept representative of the idea she can find so that she can run all over him. But, you know, they don't invite somebody like me or you guys on to a show like that because they don't want to be shown up. They want to make it look like anybody mm-hmm. who supports an idea not officially approved by the two political parties is an insane lunatic. They don't want somebody like us, you know, well-dressed, civilized, good manners, well-spoken.
Use logic.
They don't want that. They want us to be, you know, to look crazy, to look sort of like, you know, have this crazy look in our eye, like we're, you know, kind of like we're drunk or mean or murderers. I mean, that's the sort of image they want to portray. So they certainly can't have one of us on TV.
Right on.
In other words, hey, a regular person supports this?
That's right.
We can't let Americans onto that idea.
A lot of regular people do. Well, great, Tom. We appreciate you coming on. We appreciate all the work you do. Nullification's the book, ladies and gentlemen. Definitely check it out. It's a great read, very informative, and it also will give you these tools that you can take to the State House. You could take to your local Tea Party, and you could show them, hey, there is a way besides just yelling at Washington, D.C., to take the power back to the people. Also, these conferences you've been speaking at, they're called Nullify Now. You can check out nullifynow.com. And there's actually going to be one here in Austin coming up in February. So we're going to be covering that a lot on this show.
Yeah, we are planning a Nullify Now here for the last weekend in February. Details forthcoming. It's going to be co-sponsored with the Foundation for a Free Society. And it could be exciting. Hopefully you can make it out to that, Tom. But if not, we'll see you around soon. And maybe we can have you on for an interview again sometime later in the year.
Thanks. Can I just direct people to a site of my own on this subject?
Yeah.
I've put up just a page on my site, statenullification.com.
Bam.
The stuff at statenullification.com you are not supposed to know about. That's why I put it there.
Fantastic. Thanks a lot, Tom. We really appreciate it. Take care.
Thank you, guys.
Thanks, Tom. That was Tom Woods, ladies and gentlemen. What a radical. Nullification. Woo! Check it out. Follow up on that. It's a very wonderful tool, and many states are beginning to explore it. The Real ID, National ID card, has been nullified across the country. There are several great bills here in Texas. Firearms Freedom Act to nullify unconstitutional gun control laws. So check that out, ladies and gentlemen. Nullification. It's a great book. But I want to cue you in on some events that we have coming up. We're also going to be keeping you up to date on the calendar for a lot of local activities that are going on. And for one, myself, I'll be on Jeff Davis's show on Cable Access Channel 10. That's going to be Monday night next week at 8 p.m. Central Standard Time. Check it out, Channel 10. You can go to channelaustin.org/streaming if you want to watch it online. So that's going to be next Monday night. Additionally, Texans for Accountable Government and the Foundation for a Free Society are putting on a rather big event concerning Agenda 21, which is a 1992 suppressed document that has been implementing international environmental controls such as cap and trade. Little do people know it's actually being carried out here at the local level here in Austin. So it's going to be called Agenda 21, The Unseen Dangers of International Environmentalism. And we're going to be chatting about sustainable development, private property, and Austin environmental politics with Michael Shaw of freedomadvocates.org. So check out that site if you want to learn more about Agenda 21, freedomadvocates.org. That's going to be at Fiesta Gardens, 2101 Bergman Avenue. It's Austin, Texas. Fiesta Gardens, 6 p.m. is when the doors open, and the lecture is going to be at 7 o'clock, Wednesday, October 27th, The Unseen Dangers of International Environmentalism, Agenda 21, again, Wednesday, October 27th. Additionally, Brave New Bookstore, which is a great sponsor of this program, they're going to be having a Halloween bash Sunday, October 24th at 6 p.m. Sunday, October 24th at 6 p.m. at the United States Art Authority. It's right there on Guadalupe, just off of 2906 Fruth Street. That's the address, 2906 Fruth Street, Brave New Books, Halloween bash. It's a fundraiser. Jim Mars is going to be there. He's a wonderful author to speak about the trillion-dollar conspiracy, how zombie banks are destroying America, ladies and gentlemen. I'm sure you're big fans of the banksters out there. And then, of course, Texans for Accountable Government, we're going to be having our third annual Vampire Cops protest to protest against the no-refusal weekends and the blood withdrawals. That's going to be Halloween night, October 30th, 8:30 p.m., the northwest corner of 7th and Natchez. So you can check out our website to check out all those events. That's livefreeaustinradio.com, and we hope to see you out, get involved with the community, take the power back, expose the philosophy of liberty to the masses.
That's right. And I did just want to mention, we brought up the Foundation for Free Society, another sponsor of this show. Foundation for Free Society is a nonprofit organization here in Austin, Texas, dedicated to educating people and providing people with the tools to understand their natural rights and empower them to use them to live a more free and prosperous life. You can check out the website at f4fs.org or go to myfreesociety.com, and you will find that website as well. So, you know, I think with the Tom Woods interview, something that's very interesting about that is nullification is a solution. Now, we don't know if it's going to work. We want to encourage people to try to use that solution. But, you know, rather than just sit around and complain and get mad about how, you know, either the Republicans or Democrats are doing this or that, or complaining about how when one party's in power, the other party tries to gridlock everything and nobody gets anything done. There's no bipartisan work. And, you know, we sort of go back and forth on these ideas. We're just kind of like we complain and we get mad about things being done at the federal level. Mm-hmm. What we're talking about is localism and state control and state sovereignty and we as people bringing the power closer to where we live.
Yep.
That's why we're about decentralization. And you know what? There may be other solutions out there that isn't nullification, but the bottom line is what we're starting to see is that when we do things at a state and local level, we actually have the opportunity to get some things done. Mm-hmm. Whether you're a Republican or a Democrat, liberal or conservative, decentralization and state sovereignty allows us to create the types of states and communities that we want to live in.
That's right.
Rather than the federal government sort of dictating a national mandate to
everything.
Make sure. Yeah. So let's just make California and Ohio be exactly the same. That's not what the vision of the founders was.
No. And it leads to tyranny. Centralization leads to tyranny, ladies and gentlemen. That's why we're big advocates of decentralization. And it's a tenet that both the left and the right agree with. And it's something we're going to be exploring in detail on this program. So, again, we want to thank Tom Woods for coming on. We chatted about the Tea Party going on today. That's another thing that we're going to be chatting about. The November elections are coming right up. So it's going to be interesting to see how that goes and see if we actually see some changes. But ultimately, again, if we don't bring the power back to the local governments and state governments, then we're just going to simply repeat this cycle of centralized power, which is never good for we the peeps.
Well, and we want to encourage you to go check out our Facebook page again, Live Free Austin on Facebook and livefreeaustinradio.com. And we talked about this No Refusal Weekend that's coming up next weekend over Halloween weekend and the mandatory blood withdrawals. We're going to put that issue out on our Facebook page. We really like to get people to join in that conversation. Give us your thoughts on that. Mm-hmm. You know, maybe you think this is a good idea. Maybe you think, hey, it's worth allowing the police officers to stick a needle in people's arms, you know, randomly to keep drunk drivers off the street. We want to hear from you. We want to know what the other perspectives are. And so come out and engage on our Facebook page. We'd love to see what your thoughts are and share those on next week's show.
Facebook comment of the week. Take part. Live Free Austin. So we want to thank you for tuning in. It's been a wonderful program. We're going to be back every Saturday from 2 to 3 p.m. so you can check us out. We'll be engaging the philosophy of liberty, but also giving you tools and solutions that you can take not only to the State House, but also take back to your personal and your family life, and you guys can learn to live a more free and prosperous life, whether it be gardening or using your own currency, for example.
That's right. So today it's been Jason Rink and John Bush, and we want to just say goodbye and live free.